know that your hosts are named Justin and Kelly. You know that the jokes are fueled by the booze. You know this podcast belongs in the bin, and that it's called Parents Not In.
Greetings from the new Bellardio.
Yeah.
Welcome to Parents Not In here at Enuffa.com. This is our first recording from our new home.
Indeed. We had to take a long break.
We did have to take a long break because we were so
moving's
busy
hard.
Moving shit. Moving sucks.
Moving's the worst.
Hey, everybody, the lesson learned here, don't move.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
What are we watching tonight, Kelly? This was
your pick. Tonight, we're going to watch the feel-good film, Leon. It's about a girl and her dad, and they have lots of fun, happy times together.
He's not her dad.
But okay, so fine. He's someone else, but they have a lot of fun, good times together.
Why is a Muppet narrating this?
What?
This movie's about a little girl. What kind of little girl is she? Well, she's a little girl with no family, so therefore a hitman takes her in and becomes her new daddy. That's kind of weird. Why is a hitman her new daddy? Well, because she loves him. Even though he's 30 years older than she is.
You just gave away the entire plot of the movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to do that.
Spoiler alert. In summary, we're watching Leon, The Professional. Came out in 1994. It's a fantastic film by Luc Besson.
1994.
Generally considered his greatest work.
I was but a freshman in high school.
So when we were sort of researching this movie a little bit, you looked up some facts, and one of them, a very interesting fact, actually. So he had the idea for The Fifth Element, but he wasn't ready to shoot it yet because he didn't have the budget and he didn't have the technology. So he made this movie as like a stopgap.
Yeah.
Just for something to do.
Yep.
And this movie is so far and away superior to The Fifth Element. Sorry, Evan. Mm. Our friend Evan, who you might remember from our Big Lebowski episode, considers The Fifth Element his favorite movie.
I've never seen it.
It's fun, but it's an awesomely shitty movie.
Mm. Maybe someday I shall see it.
It has a lot of great things about it, but it like doesn't totally work. But this fucking movie sure as hell does.
Oh, it's so good. So I didn't know this movie existed until Justin put it on the list. The list was the list of movies that Justin insisted that I watch at some point in the Soonsies. And that was when we were in the Soonsies? Yeah. It's when we were first... We weren't even dating yet. It was actually like a year or two before we were dating.
Yep.
And I watched it one night and I was like, what the fuck? This movie's so great. I had never seen Jean Reno in anything before.
I hadn't either.
I've maybe only seen him in two things since.
I would have thought he would have become a bigger star from this movie, but...
Yeah. Well, he's French.
He was fleeting. He's French, so
What I meant by that, though, is it like, is he more of a French movie star?
He might be in a lot of French films. He was in, I think the only other two things I saw him in came out 4 years after this, which were Godzilla, that terrible version with Matthew Broderick. Mm. And Ronin with Robert De Niro. Yeah, this movie is such a wild mix of super violent and beautiful.
Yeah. Jean Reno was born Juan Moreno y Herrera Jimenez in Casablanca, Morocco.
Really?
To Spanish parents from Andalusia.
What?
Who moved to North Africa to seek work. He didn't move to France till 17.
Wow. I saw this in the theater when it came out. And the entire reason that I wanted to see it, I mean, not the entire reason, it looked good, but the main reason I wanted to see it was because Gary Oldman was in it. And 2 years earlier, I had fallen in love with Gary Oldman in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
This was my introduction to Gary Oldman, I think.
That's a hell of an introduction.
It is. I mean, start with the best.
Yeah, this is my favorite Gary
Oldman.
It's kind of
sad. The only way he can go is down.
I mean, it's criminal that he didn't get nominated for an Oscar for this.
It is criminal.
This is like such a fucking ridiculously good performance.
So this performance was, for me, akin to my first experience with Ed Norton, which was Primal Fear. And in Primal Fear, like, I remember watching that movie. I was sitting with my mom on the couch, and we were like, this movie's pretty good. And then the twist at the end happens, and I was like, what? Yeah. This guy's amazing! And I felt very much the same way about
Gary Oldman.
About Gary Oldman.
I saw this in the theater. You know, after Bram Stoker's Dracula, I was just seeking out...
That was your introduction to him?
I had seen him in JFK before that, but I didn't recognize him because he's Lee Harvey Oswald. You don't...
Yeah.
Like, he's just Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
You're not paying attention to, that's a really good actor.
Right.
So Bram Stoker's Dracula was the first thing that I became aware of Gary Oldman. And after that, I would just seek out any Gary Oldman movie I could find. I was like, I need to see all of his stuff. He's fucking amazing.
He is incredible.
So when I saw that he was in this, I was like, well, I'm going to be seeing that. And
you were not disappointed?
We went, it's one of those, he's a villain that you don't want to see leave the movie.
Right.
Because he just...
He's the Joker.
Commands, yes, he's the Joker. He commands every scene he's in.
Yep. And when he's not in, you just want to see him again. And so, and Leon is like such a likable hitman.
Well, he's the hitman with a heart of gold.
Jean Reno made the choice to play him, he said, a little mentally slow.
Yeah.
And emotionally repressed. Yes. He felt it would make audiences relax and realize that he wasn't someone who was going to take advantage of a vulnerable young girl. So the possibility, you know, he says for Leon, the possibility of a physical relationship with Matilda is not even conceivable. So during scenes when any relationship like that is discussed, he totally just let her take control of the scenes because he didn't want to seem like he was participating.
Yeah, he's socially awkward and
has
no idea how to relate to other people in real life. Like all he knows is I get paid to kill people. Yeah, he plays him like a retired old man who does his routine. He goes, he buys his milk, he goes to movies.
He kills
by
people.
Himself, and he just happens to kill people for a living.
Yeah. He's like a super introverted weirdo. I love this scene. So he's got the guy with a knife up to his neck and he's like, okay. And then he just disappears into the darkness.
Like
and
Batman.
The knife just kind of goes fa-ting.
The knife is the last thing to...
It's very cool.
To leave the shot.
The scene is so well lit.
Yes. It's very noir. Yeah, there's a lot of Batman in this character too.
Mm. Socially stunted Batman. So here we see...
This is our introduction
Natalie
to
Portman
Matilda.
At 12 years old.
Yeah, this was one of those performances that you're like, this girl is going to be a huge star.
Yeah.
She fucking has it.
And then she was in those Star Wars prequels, and oh my God,
and then I
was
like,
amazing!
And then I was like, wait, maybe she's not a good actor. No, I already knew that she was before the prequels, because she had been in a bunch of stuff.
She's fantastic.
Imagine being the one director that got a bad performance out of Natalie Portman 3 times.
Yeah.
What the fuck, George? He's like me when I'm listening to music and somebody tries to talk to me. I'm like, what? He's like a fucking reptile in this movie.
Yep.
It's great. Here's the scene you were also
reading so
about.
This scene here where he like goes up and sniffs the guy and stuff was ad-libbed. And it freaked the guy the fuck out. He was like, what the hell is this? So this was like genuine
terror.
What is he doing to me? He's so close that his hair,
like
their hair
like
is touching.
Like he's going in for a kiss or something.
Yeah.
Luc Besson must have been like, oh my God.
What do I have here?
I hired the right guy.
Leon is watching all of this take place in the hallway.
I didn't cut your shit. Hey, cut the shit and tell me who cut my shit.
He says, find out yourself. It was in your house.
He has no life at all. He sits around, drinks his milk, does his workout,
irons
his clothes.
Yeah. Sleeps sitting up. Looks a little bit like Ringo Starr.
My name's Ringo. I kill for sport and for money. Matilda wants to hang out with me and thinks that I'm going to be her boyfriend, but no.
She's calling, trying to find out why she hasn't gone to school.
And then she goes into Queen Amidala voice. She's dead. Wonder how Natalie Portman feels about her performances in the Star Wars prequels. She must be kind of ashamed of them.
Yeah.
Considering how many great performances she's had.
I assume so.
She won an Oscar, for Christ's sake. When The Phantom Menace came out, she was actually going to Harvard at the time. Like, I found out she was going to Harvard, and I was working in Harvard Square. I was like, maybe I'll run into her. Hi, Natalie. I love you.
No such luck?
No. Never ran into her.
No. Well,
damn it.
Worked out well for me. As if you were going to marry her just by meeting her.
So I was going to marry Natalie Portman just because I ran into her.
Hi, Natalie. I hear you're into movies. Hey, Natalie. I work at the movie theater. Oh, are you showing my movie?
You work in movies, and I work in movies. Ha ha!
No, I'm not working at the theater that's showing your movie. I'm sorry. Well, then screw you, nerd.
This is the scene where they just showed his clock at 2 minutes of noon, and the next chunk takes exactly 2 minutes to get through. So this is like a shot in real time.
This scene is masterful.
Mm-hmm.
Stansfield and his men raid the apartment. I wonder what kind of pill that is. Popper?
I don't know, but that is the creepiest thing a person has ever done in a movie.
Maybe someday I'll go as Norman Stansfield for Halloween. carry on little green pills. Like, they'll just be Mike and Ike's, but I'll pretend they're pills, and I'll go... This has got to be largely ad-libbed, right? He's talking about Beethoven.
Yeah. Basically, in the...
Well, the big speech about Beethoven's ad-libbed. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Basically, there were like a whole bunch of takes of this scene, and he ad-libbed a whole bunch of it, and every story he told was different.
I want to see the outtakes.
I know. I would love to know how many like different stories there are. He's just so unhinged.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's incredible.
It would be interestingly, really... so he's talking about Beethoven. Later that winter, his movie about Beethoven would come out.
Immortal Beloved, right?
Immortal Beloved.
You know, those things that like people post on Facebook and it's like, it's a movie, but you keep one actor and you replace all the rest of them with Muppets. And I'm thinking, you keep Gary Oldman in this movie and obviously. Then you just replace the rest of them with Muppets.
Yeah, obviously you keep Gary Oldman. Who do you cast as Leon? I need 2 cartons of milk, please. Hi-ho.
It's got to be Kermit, I guess. Maybe Gonzo. He's a little weird.
Oh, Kermit, can you teach me how to shoot rifles and kill people?
That's true, actually. He's a reluctant piggy suitor.
This part right here is the funniest goddamn thing ever.
His delivery is ridiculous.
So... I saw that in the theater. I couldn't stop laughing for 15 fucking minutes after that. That was the funniest fucking thing I had ever seen in my life up to that point. He said, go back inside. Unfucking real funny. Like, was that... That had to have been ad-libbed, right?
I'm assuming. So she comes up the stairs with her groceries and Leon's milk. And she sees
that things have not gone well. Everyone's dead. And she hears them talking about... how they shot the kid, the little kid.
And she holds it together long enough to pass them.
You were reading something about her reaction here.
She was having a really hard time crying actual tears. Mm. And they put mint oil in her eyes.
Oh, that's right. I love her performance in this moment, too. Natalie Portman is one of the great screen criers.
Yeah, she's really good. You know who else was considered for this part, but was deemed too old?
Who?
At 15... Liv Tyler.
Well, 15 is too old.
No, I know. Just character. Crazy.
I like Liv Tyler, but she's not Natalie Portman. Like, acting chops-wise. Mm-hmm. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking, even though it's not quite the end of summer yet, I'm drinking an Oktoberfest.
Kind of feels like the end of summer outside right now.
Oh, it's so gorgeous nice today. Cool. I love it so much.
You're drinking Sam Oktoberfest?
Yep.
A beer that is completely unlike anything we drink nowadays?
I know. So malty, I don't even know what to do with it.
Malty? I'm drinking Two Roads, not Too Juicy, Lil Juicy.
Lil Juicy. So yeah, so how far into the movie are we?
How
33
far?
Minutes and 56 seconds. Yep. And that's when it's like, I mean, you could just stop the movie here because he's so good and we don't need to do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt when I saw it in the theater. I was like, this is already an amazing movie and it's a half hour in.
Yeah.
Because...
And that's one of the cool things about
it. He's already one of the great screen villains of all time.
Yep. What's cool about it, too, is it like, yeah, you're only a half hour in and you're completely in the plot.
Yep.
They do not slow play this one.
No. Well, and they slow it down a bit in the middle as these two become really close.
Right, but you're bought in.
Yeah. And you barely even know these two characters yet because the first half hour is all the Gary Oldman show. But like already in the little snippets that you've seen these two, you're already like, I'm really interested in these two characters.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's so sweet how he treats her like a kid at this moment.
Mm.
She's just been through like this super traumatic experience. And the only thing he knows to do is to try to make her laugh.
Her entire family's dead.
Doesn't take much. She smiles pretty quickly.
Well, he's very charming. Mm. He's the most dangerous man in New York and he's kind of a simpleton.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, that's got to be a weird role to have your 11-year-old daughter take.
I know. Well, that's the point where you have to like really sit down with this 11-year-old and be like, listen, if you're going to do this movie, this is your career now.
Well, not only that, but like if you're going to do this movie, you really have to compartmentalize all this shit. Mm-hmm. Like in this story, you're a little girl whose abusive family has been murdered and now you want to kill the people that killed your family. And you're in love with a 40-something-year-old man.
Right.
This is years of therapy.
She turned out pretty normal.
She did turn out very normal.
Yeah. Lucky for her.
You know why? Acting! So what's funny is Leon is supposed to be Italian, not French. Mm. But his accent is very clearly French. If it were Italian, he would have said, "Hey, Matilda, you get out of my apartment, yes?"
Thelma and Louise.
Bonnie and Clyde Bonnie and Clyde weren't assassins, they were bank robbers. Thelma and Louise don't exist. Jesus, Matilda. Get your head out of your ass.
Also, only one person died. They didn't clean.
No, they weren't assassins either. And then she says, and they were the best. Thelma and Louise were not the best at anything. Like, they made a bad judgment call and they were just flying by the seat of their pants.
Literally. Off a cliff.
Well, they didn't fly off the cliff. They kind of fell. Funny how falling feels like flying for a little while in your car.
Boop!
He's hanging out with Danny Aiello, his boss.
Hello, Daniel.
Danny Aiello, you might know, but you probably don't because you haven't seen it, was the owner of a pizza place.
You might know, but you don't know.
And Do the Right Thing.
No. Oh, he really likes Italian food.
He sure does.
I mean, who doesn't? I love me some good parm.
You should watch Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. I didn't watch it myself until last year. It's kind of sad. It took me 30 years to actually watch it.
I've definitely seen Danny Aiello in a few things, though.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff. She was born in Israel. Did you know that?
I did.
Well, look at you. Aren't you fucking smart?
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up. Literally, there's nothing else to talk about here. If I had said no, you could have said.
She was born in Israel. Did you know that? No. Well, guess what, Kelly? She was born in Israel. His laugh is ridiculous. He sounds French.
It's a French stereotype.
What are you drinking now, Kelly?
I am drinking... It's way darker than I thought it was going to be. I am drinking a Von Trapp...
literally means dark.
I am drinking... Hello.
What?
My name's Kelly, and I today am drinking a Von Trapp Dunkel. It's darker than I imagined, with some smells, and it's cold.
It's darker than I imagined, with brown. I'm drinking, once again, I went back to...
The ever-present vitamin C.
You go back to the beginning. Vitamin C. This one is called Beach Distraction. She's got a filthy mouth on her already, and she's only 11.
Congratulations, you're a good swearing girl. I don't know what that means.
This message has been brought to you by Swearing Girl Perfume. Made for the trashiest of the trashy.
Swearing Girl, when you care enough to say the very fucking best.
Smells like 30 years of bad decisions and self-loathing. God, every apartment they're in has filthy walls. It's a chain. Mm-hmm. Filthy Walls Hotel. They're all around New York. Right now they're in the Brooklyn branch.
Need a place to live? Come to Smutwall Sam's.
What?
Smutwall Sam's.
Smutwall?
Yeah. Smut all over the walls. We got schmutz. We got dirt. We got mud. We're Smutwall Sam's.
Every room in the hotel has porn all over the walls. Smutwall Sam's.
Do you hate cleaning? Would you like to move into a place that's already damn filthy? Go to Smutwall Sam's. So what happens there when they're with him?
I forget what the thrust of that scene is, but the thrust of this scene is he starts taking her on jobs, you know, kind of train her on how to kill people. So he puts gum over the peephole to make it look like the lights are out. She's a little kid trapped in the dark, and she needs him to open the door. And as soon as he opens the door, he cuts the chain, and he's...
Ew.
Ew.
She took the gum that was his gum. She put it in her mouth. It was on the eye hole, and then she put it in her mouth. That's gross.
Yeah, but she's in love with him, so that's hot.
Wasn't that a thing when you were in, like, sixth grade? Like, I'm chewing Joey's gum. Did that ever happen?
I never chewed Joey's gum, no. In sixth grade. First of all, we didn't have a Joey, so no. Second of all, even if we did, I would never have said, Joey seems like a nice guy. I'd like to try his gum. I'm sure he has good taste in gum.
Okay, what about Jeanette?
No. Even if I was in love with a Jeanette in sixth grade, I never would have said, I want to chew her gum.
I bet you wanted to chew my gum.
Any more than I would have said, I want to drink her bath water.
Why would you say that? Who says things like that? Nobody says things like that and gets away with it. Danny I-L-O. Is that how you spell it? I-L-O?
Yep.
It's like E-L-O, but with Danny.
Yes, Danny I-L-O.
He was in The Godfather, Part 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was Tony Rosato.
Yeah.
He was in a movie called Once Upon a Time in America, where he played Police Chief Aiello.
Oh, yeah, Once Upon a Time in America. I've never actually seen that all the way through.
But... he was the father in Papa Don't Preach.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get right out of here.
Yeah. Get out! Jesus.
Oh, he was in Moonstruck. We never finished that because you got drunk.
I got drunk and I passed out.
You did. Hey, Justin, he was in Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, I know.
He was a guy named Tommy Five Tone in Hudson Hawk. Tommy Five Tone.
Hudson Hawk. I saw that in a theater. I was one of the 10 people that saw that in the theater because that movie flopped hard and was considered one of the worst movies of the year. But
oh, yeah, that was Bruce Willis's
bad
movie, right?
As a 14-year-old, I enjoyed it. I wonder how I'd like it.
Of course you did.
I wonder how I'd like it now.
Look who it is.
It's Norman Stansfield.
Out of the car. We haven't seen him in like an hour, and I missed him, but he's back now.
We haven't seen him in an hour, and I missed him, even though he's the worst man alive.
Something about the worst man alive makes him want to look meap.
Makes him want to look meap? What? Where were you even going with that?
I think I was trying for makes me want to look at him.
So it came out meap. How do I find Norman Stansfield? I guess I'll have to look on the meap.
My chops are low tonight. I ain't got the chops. She's going to use the bathroom as her staging area.
Again, why is a Muppet telling me this?
I don't know.
Oh, she is delivering certified Angus beef, a cut above the rest.
Yang, yang, yang.
Yang, yang.
He was fucking waiting there the whole fucking time. He's a fucking asshole creep.
Damn it. He lured her right in and she fell for it.
Oh my God, remember those?
Crank.
Old school crank paper towels?
Yeah. Every school had them.
Yep.
Along with the powdered soap.
Oh, God, the powdered soap was the worst.
It was awful.
Oh, I have to wash my hands. Go get the borax.
Borax?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called?
Like, no, it's like super, that's like super strong
powdered
soap.
Didn't Dr. Seuss write a story about that?
That's the Lorax.
No, he wrote a story about powdered soap.
Nope.
I will not use this powdered soap. I will not wash my hands, you dope.
I will not wash them here or there. I will not wash my underwear. Wait.
That's going overboard with this protest. You're going to sit in dirty underwear just because you have to use powdered soap?
God, he's so creepy. Imagine being an 11-year-old and having to face
Gary Oldman
at his absolute top of his game.
Yeah, playing the most unhinged character he's ever played.
Nose to nose.
Yeah, with a gun pretty pointed sure at your face.
I'd pee in my britches.
It's a big-ass gun he's got.
Want to know something special about his gun?
What?
Hold on, I'll tell you.
What is this segment of the show called?
Oh, this segment of the show is called Kelly Looks Stuff Up on Google.
Why is that gun so big?
I'm going to tell you.
It looks like Eddie Valiant's gun in Roger Rabbit. He's going to shoot
it's a very special gun.
Cartoon bullets. That's multiple MIGs.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh.
I can smell your gun.
Ooh, don't do it.
Now tell me, what did MIGs say to you? Multiple MIGs in the next cab. He gave you a fare. What did he say? He said, that'll be 1063. I see. I myself would have only charged 821.
Here it is. His oversized service revolver is a modified Smith & Wesson 629 snub-nose combat .44 Magnum. Only 5,000 were manufactured in a limited run during the late 1980s. The end.
Nothing about why they're so goddamn big?
No.
Jesus.
It's modified.
She's wearing her dress that he bought her, hoping to seduce him. Matilda, this is not a good idea what you're doing. You think your friends regretted their first experience. You would absolutely regret this one. Jesus.
Good job, Leon.
Why not?
Because you're a child.
You're a child. Jesus. Hey, Padme, go find the little 5-year-old.
She goes from one end of the spectrum to another.
She sure does. Robs the grave and robs the cradle. And then, Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
She should have said it to Leon. Leon, you're breaking my heart.
Matilda, you're so beautiful. That's only because I'm so in love. No, it's because I'm so in love with you. So love has blinded you? That's not exactly what I meant. Here, have a revolver.
Here, have some more milk.
He's trying to convince her that, really, you don't want me to be your first time because I'm terrible at it anyway.
One time, I did it with this girl and she screamed, "Ah, that was bad!"
One time I did it with this one girl and she said, "That's my belly button."
Yikes, Justin.
One time I did it with this one girl and she said, "Yikes, that's my shoe."
My foot's still in it.
My foot's still in it. It's kind of impressive that you managed to fit yourself in the shoe with my foot still in it, but still, you're pretty far off. This is not your strength. Stick to killing people.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Jesus.
What the?
Norman,
oh gosh.
Stansfield
something.
Is there.
There's a thing. I don't know.
Oh, God.
What's the deal?
Lee
What's
Harvey Oswald has come back for revenge against Jack Ruby. Look, Danny Aiello, if that is your real name. Aiello, what the fuck? My man was killed on your turf. Clearly, it's one of your guys that did it. Who told you to sic one of your guys on one of my guys? This is bullshit. And... you tell me who the man is that you sicked on my
guy. Are you Jeff Goldblooming this line? This is a lot. They have a lot of guys coming after Leon.
And you know what? That's not even everyone.
No.
No. You know why?
No.
Because later he says, "Bring me everyone."
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
That was ad-libbed also to make the director laugh.
And the director was like, "That was amazing."
He'd done a bunch of takes and he was like over it. He was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna make him laugh." And that's the take they went with.
Of course it is. Because it was fucking genius.
He was him at his most unhinged. He wears that same outfit the whole movie.
Yeah, he does. Well, maybe he's got several of those
suits.
Well,
right. But tan suit, white shirt.
Tan suit, white shirt. Tan suit, white shirt. Bring me everyone.
What do you mean, everyone?
Everyone. This is from Matilda. Oh, no, it's the ring trick.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. It's the ring trick. They're both gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least that's the payback. It's like you're sitting there and you're like, "Fuck, Stan won again."
And you're like, "Jesus, Grandpa, what did you read me this thing for?"
This is not a happy ending. But then Stan gets it, too. So at least there's like that.
But at the same time, when I saw it in the theater, I was like, "No, now Stan is not going to be on the screen anymore." Shit.
So she goes to the boss man. He's going to take care of her.
She went to the boss man. She went to the Italians. She wanted calamari. He said, "I ain't got none. But here's $100 bill. She's back at her school. "I met a man named Leon. He was a hitman and he's dead. Now I'm back to school. Because I want to learn about geometry."
That was something.
"I was around police. One of them said, 'Bring me everyone, everyone.'"
You know, I'm worried that that plant is not going to survive very long.
No. How do you know?
It's an indoor plant.
How do you know? Maybe it can survive outside.
That's artifice scudubanus. That's the name of the plant.
Artifice scudubinus.
Yep. It does best indoors.
So fake.
It's very popular indoors.
It's a fake.
On islands.
Talking dog plant. Is what I got out of that.
Ruh-oh rant.
So, at the end, I wanted to talk about the significance of her planting it in the ground, even though it's not going to survive. She's putting down roots.
She's trying to give it roots, yes.
Yeah. Like, throughout the whole film, every time they have to pull their roots up, they take the plant with them. But now she's staying. She's not going nowhere.
She's staying.
She's putting down the roots.
Casting her lot with the school.
Yep.
She's hanging up her pistolas.
Her pistolas.
And her rifiolas.
Rifunduganas.
And her knifeolas. And her revengeolas. So, thoughts on The Professional or Leon?
I love this movie.
Yes.
It's disturbing and dark, but so beautifully acted.
Beautiful.
It's a beautifully shot film, but not because it's pretty, because it's so gross and gritty.
Yes.
What do you think, sir?
I think it's a wonderful film. It has action.
Yes.
It has, I don't want to say a love story, but like a touching affection between the two protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
It has one of the all-time great movie villains.
Mm-hmm.
Has multiple great set pieces.
Yep. And it's got the best performance by Gary Oldman on the face of the earth.
Yes. He's devouring scenery, but in a good way.
Yeah.
It's one of those roles that he must have just been having the time of his life every moment that he was on camera.
I have to imagine so.
Yeah. I would love to see all of his outtakes, just to see what all of his other choices were.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this film, we're sorry that we ruined the whole thing for you. You shouldn't have sat through this whole review.
If you haven't seen this film, you probably wouldn't be watching this.
That's a good point.
Review. And if you have seen it, you still probably aren't watching this review. But
if you haven't,
one can hope.
If you haven't seen this movie and you're watching this review, why? Why did you spoil that for yourself?
Probably because they love our other episodes and they were like, well, I'll watch anything starring these two, so even if it's a movie I haven't seen, don't do that. Watch the movie first.
Even if you pretend to go watch the movie, you could pause us for 5 minutes. We wouldn't know the difference. You just come back and say,
five minutes.
I watched it!
What? First of all, why would you wait 5 minutes, pause it for 1 second, and come back? Or don't pause it at all. How would we know?
I watched it now. I can just
I watched it now.
Mom, can I listen to the review now? I watched the show movie.
Show movie. Mom! I went to the talking movie box and watched the picture. Can I watch the review now?
And now I have to unpause the other talking face box.
I've popped in the VHS that I have, even though we ain't got no player. I just took out the tape and looked at it under a light.
The soundtrack was pretty boring.
All I saw was brown.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.